Who's got the spirit of prayer on them this morning?
Okay.
I try, yeah.
Praise the Lord.
I don't think that car, I was looking at your car this morning, it was still about 2 inches off the ground. The tires weren't touching the ground out there.
Yes, Lord.
We don't burn any gas that way.
Yeah, let's do.
Yes.
Get 100 miles a gallon, huh?
Yes. Praise God.
Okay. Well, one or all three of you can pray. We don't care. Praise God.
We thank you, Lord.
Yes,
praise the Lord.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Yes.
We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're everywhere present and more that you're present in us.
Yes.
Father, we ask you to give us ears to hear what you're speaking. And may you take it to heart, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And be obedient in everything that you're showing us. Father, just bless the speaker today.
Yes.
Bless even the service later on. And Father, we commit everything into your hands that you be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
the Lord. Praise God.
Thank you, Father.
Well, all this week, as I was reading and meditating on these verses, Psalm 45, 9 through the end of the psalm, I became particularly interested or was being led to look at words like daughter, virgins, concubines, people, maids. And it was just a whole lot of different things that the Lord was dealing with. And I know that the last half of this song is pretty much dedicated to describing the bride of Christ. The first half, you read a lot about the majesticness of the king and how glorious he is. And then when you get up into 48 and 49 and on down, it seems like he starts talking about the daughters and the queen and, you know, describing the bride. But the thing that dawned on me this morning after I had looked up definitions of the word daughter and concubine and queen and things of this nature, the thing that dawned on me this morning was, let me see what I wrote down here. It's like the Lord started talking about the different relationships that he has with his children. And I mean, when you think about, for instance, the definition of a concubine was one having a recognized social status in the household, but below that of a wife.
Yes. Okay.
In other words, the concubine is in the household, okay, but doesn't have the same status as the wife has, okay? And if I could find a definition of these things, I thought it was going to be easy. Excuse me. Bear with me a second here. And then you look up the definition of the word virgins, and it's 133 in the Strong's, and it talks about virgins are separated. You know, they're called out, and they're separated unto the Lord. And it says sometimes to be a bride. And that's interesting, and I was thinking about the parable in Matthew 5 or 7 where it was talking about the 10 virgins. And they're talking about the virgins here in Psalm 45. And five of them were wise. They all heard the call. They all heard the king call. They were all virgins. They were all separated unto the Lord. They were all saved. They were called to be with the Lord. They were called to come to the Lord and engage in an ongoing relationship with him. But when all of them heard the voice of the Lord, five of them said, basically, no, I'm not coming. But there was five wise that adhered to the voice and followed on to know the Lord and pursued a deeper relationship with the Lord. And I look at, I'm probably going to be jumping back and forth on different verses here between verse 8 and verse 17, 8 from the end of the chapter, so I guess we can just go ever how we're led here. But it says in 9, king's daughters were among thy honorable women, And upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. The Message Bible says, your ozone-drenched garments are fragrant with mountain breeze. Chamber music from the throne room makes you want to dance, and king's daughters are maids in your court, and the bride is glittering with golden jewelry. It's kind of neat. But when you look up that daughter that he's talking about, it has a little different definition from another daughter in verse 12. In verse 12, it talks about, and the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift, even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. And it says, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Now, she had kind of a little different interpretation, that daughter. The king's daughter is all glorious within, and her clothing is of wrought gold, is wrought of gold. That's interesting because I think in, if you get that in Strong's there, Oscar, on verse 13 and 45, that particular daughter in verse 13, Psalms 45, the king's daughter. This is the definition of the daughter there. Yeah. What's it say about her?
It says a feminine of in, which is in is for male, a dawson, a daughter used in the second same wide sense as in other terms in relationships.
Of the eye. Now, that definition of that king's daughter right there, he's talking about a lot of daughters that are in the house. There's daughters in the house. And when you look up the definition of these daughters that he's talking about, some have different definitions than this one here. It says the king's daughter is all glorious within. That jumped off the page at me, too. She's glorious within. She had this inner deep relationship with the king. And it says her clothing is of wrought gold, which is his nature, typical of his nature. Yeah. And like Oscar just defined, that king's daughter was the apple of his eye.
Yes.
Okay. But then when you look at some of the definitions of the other daughters up here, it doesn't have quite the same significance of this particular daughter. And it's like the Lord was just showing me that in the Father's house, there are many mansions, many abodes, many abiding places where he dwells with his people. And it's interesting as you look up virgins and different daughters and concubines, and there's all these different relationships that people have with the Lord. You know, they're all climbing up the mountain, I guess, from different ways, different perspectives. But it's just interesting.
What's the definition of the other daughter?
The other daughter was Strong's 1121. And I'll tell you another thing, too. As you read about this, you will constantly be led by the Spirit into the Song of Songs, where God is describing his bride.
But he's telling this one daughter, he's saying, consider, submit, and consent to my instruction.
Yeah.
And this other, the daughter that is all glorious, has already done those things.
There you go.
That's why she's in wrought with gold and that.
Within, that's right. That's right. That's awesome. In Song of Solomon's verse 2, it says, as the lily, he's talking about his favorite daughter, if you will, as the lily is among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. He's talking about his beloved. He's talking about this lily that he considers a lily, the apple of his eye. And he said, that lily among thorns is my love amongst my daughters. Make ever what you want out of it, okay? But it's just interesting. Song says, my dove, my undefiled, is but one. I added in there, is but one in me.
Yeah.
My love, my dove, my undefiled, undefiled from the world, from the flesh, from religion, is one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughter saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. So it's interesting how this beloved, this one, is just rising up and into this intimate relationship with the Lord. And another verse that talks about where the Shulamite woman was running through the streets and she was looking for the Lord, and she was describing him to the other daughters, to the people that she met in the streets. And when she described how beautiful and gorgeous this being was, the other daughters said to her, can we go with you to find him? And it was interesting, the Lord was saying that those people that have come into a deep relationship with me, that have a deep understanding of who I am, and the love radiates out of them, the other daughters are affected by those daughters.
Yes.
And I happen to believe that this place is full of those kind of daughters, people that are going on with the Lord.
But doesn't it create a hunger when you're around? It's showing that it created a hunger in the others to have what she has.
Yes.
And so they're following on to...
Exactly.
Yeah.
To know him.
Yes.
Yeah. And they initially start knowing him through her. They can see his glory on her because she's been in his presence and she's been seeking after him and pursuing him, you know. And they can sense that and see that because we're all spiritual beings, you know. But that's kind of the way that the Lord's been leading me on this thing. And it says, hearken, O daughter, verse 10, and consider and incline thy ear. And this is a word to us, I believe. The living word. He says, hearken, O daughter, and consider. And he says three things here. He says, incline thy ear, forget your own people and your father's house. Now, isn't that what he said to Abraham?
Mm-hmm.
When he called Abraham, he says, I want you to come away from the world, the people that you've been raised with, the people who've been around you. And he said, and even come away from your father's house. So there was three things that he said to that daughter. He said, incline thy ear. And I was thinking of that scripture in Proverbs where it says, incline thy ear. I wrote it down. You guys know it. I don't know why I'm having a hard time getting some. I got so much stuff in my head here. I'm having a hard time recollecting and pulling it all together. But you know that the Lord is always saying, incline thy ear unto my sayings. They're health to all, you know, health to your flesh, so on and so forth. And so he's saying to this daughter here, I want you to incline your ear. To hear the living word inside of you. Leave your own people in your own father's house. And in the next verse, I tied this next verse in with something. He says, so shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. When we come apart unto him, when we're willing to leave the religious scene, you know, and all the ways and the doctrines, when we're ready to come out of that country, away from that old father's house, the Lord says, the king says, I will greatly desire thy beauty, for he is the Lord, and worship thou him. And that's what it's talking about.
He calls us out of that which is comfortable, which is familiar, into a new and greater and deeper
dimension. Amen.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
And what is the word that we're hearing so often here the past couple of years from all the prophets, the men that come into the sanctuary that minister in that? Come up here.
Yes.
And that really is what the Spirit is speaking to the church. Come up here. You really sense that it is kind of like the midnight cry. It is the Lord calling to the virgins, those that he has separated unto himself. And that sound, that trumpet, you know, the seventh trumpet, if you will, when all the mysteries of God will be finished, the book of Revelation says. Seventh is the number of perfection. And that trumpet, I really believe in my heart, that trumpet is blowing.
Yes.
And the virgins are hearing the trumpet. You know, they're hearing it blown from the pulpit out there. Brother Oscar, everyone that's singing that pulpit are blowing that trumpet to come up here, to come closer. You know, Brother Doug Fortune comes in here. What does he preach about? The key, intimacy with God, the key of David,
yes.
Okay? And so, and this is all that this particular psalm is saying here, too, is just draw closer, incline your ear to me. Leave the house of your own people in your father's house. So shall the king greatly desire your beauty, for he is thy Lord.
Yes.
And then it says, and the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. Doesn't it say that even kings will come to the brightness of your rising?
Yes.
When the glory of the Lord is on you. Mm-hmm. It says, even the rich people, rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. You know, the kings and the rulers will come to this people, will come to this bride. And it says, the king's daughter is all glorious within, and her clothing is of wrought gold. Of course, I realize that there's about 16 sermons in every one of these verses here. When you talk about the clothing, Oscar could spend the next 6 weeks talking to you about the clothing right now. How about Oscar? You got something on the clothing? you're too quiet. I'm spinning. I'm doing too much talking.
So can I go back a little ways?
Yes, sir.
When you was talking about the apple of the eye, I was just looking back at that a little bit, and just, you know, just go back. Is it Deuteronomy?
Yeah, we just take the whole last part of this and go back and forth.
Deuteronomy 32:10. What he was talking about there, he said he meant the apple of his eye. The word apple of the eye there, which I thought was interesting that the doubters were called the apple of the eye. The word apple of the eye there means little man of the eye. And the only way you see the little man of the eye is to get up. When you get up in somebody's face and you look into their eye, you'll see a little man in their eye. And the little man you'll see is you. And, you know, we have to realize that when he's even talking about the daughters there back there, and he's calling them the apple of his eye, he's talking about literally when our soulish person comes to a place to where we get so intimate with God that we get up in his face, that we'll begin to see ourselves in his eyes. And, you know, and I think, you know, when we realize that that's even going back to what you were saying about, you know, about Brother Doug and all that, you know, talking about the intimacy and the gates and so on and so forth. And when we get that relationship where we get so close, and I shared a message on this one time years ago, but my sister, you know, I guess I'm his great-uncle. But my sister used to keep her little grandson when she was still with us. And she said one morning she'd wake up, she woke up and Evan's forehead was against her forehead. she opened her eyes. Yeah, he was just right in her face. She said, I'd wake up in the morning a lot of times when he'd be sleeping when he was real little. He'd be right up in my face. And I was thinking, that was because he felt so secure and so loved there. And was, you know, felt like there was nothing to harm him there. You know,
right.
He didn't always have the most stable relationship in his other part of the family. But, you know, when we realize that when he's even calling us as being the daughters back here, of being the apple of his eye, it's talking about when our soul comes to a place where our intellect, our thought, our will, our emotions, all those things want to get right up in the face of God and look into his eyes, then what we'll begin to do is see him and see ourselves in his eyes. And I think a lot of times when we see him as he is, Scripture says we'll be like him. And we have to realize that he's not a God that's afar off. He chose to dwell inside of us. So that's why even in the book of Ezekiel, when he had visions of God back there, it said he had mirror visions, looking glass visions. Well, mirror visions, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
Self.
You see yourself. And guess what? Your search for God will lead him again, like a poem I shared with you before about, you know, from Helmstein Rice, will end and begin when you look for him and you find him within. And when we come to that realization that as we have that intimate relationship, he's not a God that's afar off. He dwells right inside of us. You know?
Yeah. And the beauty part about that, Oscar, is that is our position in him, whether we are conscious of that or not. That is our position in him. We are one in him. 2,000 years ago, we became one with Christ. We were crucified with him. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And God right now is, I believe, raising a people up into the consciousness of the finished work. I really believe that is the glorious gospel that is coming forth in this hour, and it's going to continue to come forth like a roaring wave. It's going to sweep over the earth, and that is the finished work of what Jesus Christ has already completed and done. And he's just bringing a people now. The closer you draw to him, the more he's bringing you into an understanding that it is finished, that you are a queen, that you are a son, that you are more than a conqueror through him that loved you. And greater is he that is in me and in us than he that is in the world. And that's the position that God is bringing us to. And I think that, like he was talking about the soul, I believe that all these daughters and sisters and concubines, I believe that this is all a process of where these souls are. Some of them are in the concubine stage, where they're in the house, but they're not considered to be wives of the king yet, okay? But they see the king, they serve the king. One translation says that they're maids. Maids is translated as concubines. A maid is in the house. She waits on the king and that, but she can't go to at nighttime. The king goes in one room and she goes in another room, okay? And so these are all different places where the hearts and the souls of God's people are right now. Some are in that concubine stage and some are in a different daughter stage and, you know, but In the finale, he is the beginning and the end, you know. Sure.
You know, a lot of times if you ask a Christian in the church system out there, how you doing, brother or sister, you know, a lot of times their reply is, well, I'm still serving the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, you'll hear that a lot. So I'm still serving the Lord. And if you'll remember what Jesus said he didn't come to be served, but he came as a servant. And he came really to redeem us.
Absolutely.
And he has elevated us beyond the level of a servant. A servant doesn't know what the master does. But the friend does. That's the difference between being a friend or being a son or a daughter. And sometimes you will even tell your friends things that you won't tell your family. There's times when you feel more intimate with a friend than you do with your family. And he's that friend that sticks closer than a brother to us. And Abraham was called the what of God?
Friend.
Friend of God. And what did God do? God showed him what he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still reaping the reward of what God said to Abraham, because we're all children of Abraham too, you know, through faith.
And he showed him the promised land.
Yes, he did.
And he said, and everywhere your foot treads, it'll be yours. Get stepping, Abraham.
Jesus even said, when he talked to him about, you know, who he was, verily, verily, I said to you, before Abraham was, I am. And they said, well, you know, how do you make yourself, you're not 40 years old yet. How do you say Abraham saw my day and was glad?
Mm-hmm.
He did see that day.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. He saw it in type and shadow, but he saw it from afar.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, we're seeing it from a now
hallelujah.
Situation.
We're seeing the reality of it. Yeah. Praise God. Instead of the shadow.
Right.
The law is just a shadow, it says, of things to come.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're still kind of looking through a glass darkly, but we're not looking through a glass as dark as what the Old Testament saints were looking through. The prophets that said long to look into these things, you know. So they didn't have a full revelation of these things. We're after the cross. So, you know, we can see these things. It's a lot brighter day we're walking in than what they were walking in. They were in the shadows. And the day's growing brighter and brighter. Praise God. Exciting time we're living in. Jump in there, guys.
I can't seem to get away from the feeling of being the apple of his eye. And it says even in Jacob, he kept him as the apple of his eye. And when you layer that with Jacob's life, it wasn't all fun and games.
Mm-hmm.
He had a very heartbreaking life at times. And then you were talking about that seeing the daughter causes the others to come along and want what we have. And I got to thinking, what was that thing? And the thing is, if you layer what God says about us, who we are, with the fleshly reality of the things we're going through, the shortcomings that we have, the tragedies that befall us, the life that we live, the difference is in everything we give thanks. And that's what causes people to come.
Oh, yes.
If that's what they see in us, not that our lives are, we're not being kept. Oh, they just have such an easy life. No. Mm-hmm. It's when we see difficulties, when we even have shortcomings in our, when we fall, when we, you know, we in everything we give thanks, for this is the will of God. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that they see that makes us different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think
one of the reasons, Kev, why the Lord allows us to go through these trials, if you will, and tribulations, is because the more we see him and the more we see the other him, the old Adam, we look at that new Adam, Christ, and we see the contrast between the two, it drives you more toward the Lord, because you start understanding in a greater depth what you've been delivered from. Because it seems like the old man, like Paul said, you know, the thing I want to do, I don't do, blah, blah. There's this conflict. And somehow I'm just seeing where the reason why we go through this seemingly dual nature that we have, seemingly a dual nature, which is a lie in itself. There's not two natures. We're a new creation in Christ, okay? Mm-hmm. The old man's been put to death. But when we see him, the old man, and we war with him, you know, still the thoughts and still the things that come out of our mouth that shouldn't come out of our mouth, it makes us desire the Lord even more than, you know, the contrast between the two. It drives us to the Lord, makes us better instead of bitter. Yeah,
yes.
Right.
Yes.
I never really saw it in that light before. Mm-hmm. That God still gives us that contrast to see the new man from the old man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we desire the new wine.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Yes.
And the thing about it is the religion would tell you that you have to be perfect.
Mm.
You
yes.
know.
Right. Mm, that's
and Christ would tell us situations and circumstances would tell us otherwise.
Right. Yes.
You know, when you were talking Lord, about Jacob back there, you know, one time years ago, the Lord really dealt with me about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob was a type of the old man, but he was the type of what happened to us when God got a hold of us. Because Jacob was chosen from before he was ever born. Jacob had a love, and Esau had a hate, you know, or held in relative disregard, or however you want to put it. You know, and the thing about it is with Jacob is Jacob was a process. He was an ongoing process. And we're an ongoing process. Not that in God's eyes it is already completed,
that's
but
right.
It was. When Jesus said it was finished on Calvary, it was finished.
Yes.
But for us to come into the reality of that sometimes, we have to go through a lot of situations.
Yes.
We have to marry Leah when we want Rachel.
Yeah.
And you know, Leah, her name had six meanings to her name.
Mm.
It meant tiredness, disgustingness, loathsomeness, and a whole bunch of negative things. If you go back and you look at the name of Leah and you look it up in Strong, you'll find that she had six bad meanings to her name.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weary of self was one of them. How often do we get weary of ourselves? Am I ever going to get past this situation or this circumstance?
Be not weary in well-doing, the Lord says. Yeah.
But you know what? The funny thing is that when he got Leah, he got Rachel too.
Mm-hmm.
He had to serve seven more years, but he got Rachel right away.
Yes.
But he agreed to serve for the seven more years.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
He got her right away.
Yeah.
And we don't realize that we have Rachel, and Rachel means a ewe lamb. It means the predominant female of a flock. It's the one that's going to bear all of the children, you know, so to speak, in the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
But guess who had all the children in the natural realm?
Mm-hmm.
Leah.
Yeah.
She had all the sons. But see, the neat thing about it is that as God, if we go through this process with God, he went to Laban's house. You know what Laban, you know what the name Laban means? It means white or light. And you know, God showed me Laban is a type of the church. You go out into the church system out there, and boy, Laban will grab you with great arms. And as long as you keep bearing children for him, He loves you.
Mm-hmm.
He'll pat you on the back. What's the first thing they do? And I'm not trying to knock any religion. What's the first thing they do in the Baptist church?
Mm-hmm.
They want to get you out witnessing.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? So you can bring in some more children.
Mm-hmm.
Bring in some more children. And instead of trying to have you begin to become something, become what God's called you to be, you know, it's all about witnessing and having more children. And you know, Laban was all well and good. Until Jacob had to leave Laban's house. And then when he left Laban's house, what did he do? He comes to a place where he goes to the river Jabbok. He has to cross over a place that means coming to an end or ceasing.
Yeah, praise God. That's good.
He had to go to a place, and when he's crossed over there, guess what he has over there? He has an encounter with God Almighty.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's
and
good.
His name gets changed from Jacob to Israel. Jacob means deceiver, supplanter. All of those old natures of Adam are still there. You know, and yet he has encounters with God, religious encounters, but when he crosses over, he has that encounter with God Almighty, El Shaddai, the large-breasted love nature of God. And what does he do? He grabs him by his loins. He didn't grab, it says thigh there, or throw his hip out. You understand? Literally, if you look up the word, he literally grabbed him by his loins, the place where new life comes out of in the natural. And you want to control a man, grab him by his loins, and he'll do whatever you want him to do. He'll beg you to let go. But you know what? He never walked the same. So that meant that he was changed from that day forward, and his name was changed to Israel. He wanted Jacob to be blessed, but he wasn't going to bless Jacob. He's not going to bless Adam.
Mm-hmm.
He's only going to bless Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And what fine with it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Oscar, that's good. You were talking about the processes, the processing of Jacob, and here in Psalm 45 again, 13 and 14, where it's talking about the king's daughter, which is the apple of his eye, like Jacob was the apple of his eye. But this is interesting, goes right along with what you were saying. It says the king's daughter is all glorious within. I love that, is all glorious within, all glorious. All glorious, completely glorious within. And her clothing is of wrought gold. But here's the point I want to make. She shall be brought unto the king in remnants of needlework. Needlework. Now, you women, what do we know? What do you women know about needlework? But it says that this daughter here, this bride, is going to be brought to the king in remnants of needlework. And I can just see, I don't know anything about needlework. Some woman in here has got to know that, but to me, I just see some lady doing real fine needle work, and that's how she is being brought to the king. And there was a lot of needlework going on in Jacob's life, wasn't there? What about needlework? Does anybody know anything about
that? What I'm seeing you're saying is like a quilt patchwork, and you're doing all of this and
remnants.
Putting together remnants.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Remnants.
Yeah.
Confirmation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Putting together to make the whole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Remnants are the leftover pieces of something. Mm-hmm. If you go to a drugstore and you want to buy new carpet, if they've got remnants, mm-hmm. you can get it a lot cheaper than you can the actual product, because it's something that they can't really use totally and have a remnant sale. And same with cloth, because I'm Martha Sews, and I know sometimes she'll look in the remnants or something to see if there's something she can use. And but that's beautiful what you said there about the patchwork.
That's good. That's good. Well, I hate to shut it down, but Tammy, I think, should be here, and we're going to practice a little song for a minute. And there might be something else that needs to be said here, though. Somebody else holding something in their heart they want to share?
Did you read all the way down, or did you go all the way down?
We 19. Didn't complete it, really. We got, down to 15. We'd be at 15 if we finished it up next week, 15, 16, 17, we'd be done. Unless you want to.
No,
I have no problem. Anybody else have anything that they want to share?
Well, you were talking in Solomon about the bride running down the street looking for the Lord, and all the daughter, and the other daughters are following her, but the end of 14 says, the virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. So it's the same concept. She's the daughter, and she's got the virgins following after her.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen. It all ties in. Very good.
Yeah. That preacher, I just want to tell you what the Strong says about that word of remnants.
It's
a variegation of color, specifically embroidered works, diverse colors, remnants of needlework on both sides. And remember, what was it that Jacob was given that
of
made
coat.
The brothers? The coat of what?
Gemstones.
Many
colors.
Yeah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. And we just thank you, Lord, that in your eyes we are complete. Help us to come into the total reality of that. We know that if reality were to break forth, we'd be just like you. We ask you, Father, to help bring us into that reality more and more each day, that the perfect dawning of your light would just dawn in us, and that we would see you more clearly.